This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This is a Jake Murren thing all over again, where the first day Jake Murren worked here, was like, you look like my nephew. Can I take a picture of you? And I realized that's not, that gave off some stranger danger.
Yeah, they don't know you like that.
Anthony just did his first full-time update here. This is his first full-time shift tonight. And he was backing up, trying to walk out. And I thought it'd be funny if I kind of jump-scared him. And I jump-scared him, and I realized, we're not there yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know if you actually might accost him. He has no idea.
Yeah, that's a very... But now I know. And now I'm going to spend the next 6 months of our relationship, work relationship, digging out of that hole that I put myself in now for the second time in a year. This is great. It's awesome.
Imagine your welcome to radio is actually being like, oh yeah, apparently the afternoon drive host just kind of sticks me up and takes my wallet every now and again.
Yeah, apparently the afternoon drive host is a bit of a jerk. Yeah, who knew that?
That would suck.
Yeah, that would be awful.
Good thing that's not the case. Am I right, guys?
Hander your way up there, big boy.
Bandwagon's coming up in about 20 minutes with Mac, but we got the Cavs going for the all-time Cavs season-opening win streak here. Can they do it? 9-0 against the Pellies. The Browns have done some stuff as well. To talk about all of it, we welcome on of 92.3 The Fan, the true great here, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers.
What?
The true great. Okay. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
I've been called worse.
That is true. By me.
Really, that was a really nice thing to say. I thought he called you the true greater, and I'm like, how does that work?
He does
that
grate
I don't
me.
Know.
He does grate me sometimes.
I like the you see the Lions fan that wore the grater on the top of his head to combat playing the Packers. I thought that was really fun, Daryl.
That's really, really funny, yeah. But wait, that's stupid humor. You shouldn't like that because you don't like stupid humor. Now, Daryl.
He's right about that.
Do you hope that the Cavs get the 9-0 start tonight? Do you hope they get that record?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I?
No, I just
were you expecting a no?
That would have been a wild turn of events.
In fairness, dumb question.
I hate this Cavs team. I hope they lose 8-1. Not since Bingo Smith have I been this irate.
Does that signify anything?
No. you know what I will be interested to see is if they can, because at some point they are going to lose a basketball game. I know, like, they're on pace for the 82-0 right now, but I am interested to see if they can sustain a similar level of win percentage that we're seeing here throughout the season. Like, you know, can they win plus 55 games? You know, and that should set them up for, at least in my view, a top two seed in the Eastern Conference. And then obviously this all becomes what do they ultimately do in the playoffs? Because the one thing LeBron James learned, when LeBron 1.0, they were always focused on just trying to patch a team together to get to the playoffs, win as many games as they could in the regular season, and then the playoffs would come along, and with the exception of 2007, things would fizzle out. And what LeBron learned in Miami was, the regular season isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Yeah, it's important, you got to get in the tournament, but you don't have to have the most wins to get in the tournament, and it's all about the postseason. So that balance is what I'm going to be looking for with this particular Cavs team. They're winning at a high clip right now. They're a lot of fun to watch. The changes that Kenny Atkinson has made to this rotation are fantastic. Evan Mobley, Darius Garland are on fire. But, you know, I think that, you know, the ultimate verdict comes when the playoffs begin.
Now, it's answers like that that we're really thrilled you're one of our thought partners here, Daryl.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, I thought that was a compliment.
Did you have fun today?
No, that's not a compliment.
Thought partners with us. That's the compliment.
You said really nice things.
I don't know if that's a compliment, though.
You're also very empirical.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
And analytical? Yeah. Inquisitive?
I am analytical. That one I...
Loquacious?
Loquacious?
Maybe. Bodacious? Ostentatious?
I was about to say, am I ostentatious?
Superstitious.
Very superstitious.
I think you killed the bit with superstitious.
Fuck, I had to contribute. Daryl, it was not a disaster. There were things that we learned.
It was.
It was okay,
yeah, it
go
was.
Ahead. Tell me why it was a disaster.
It was. It was 25 minutes of our lives that we're not getting back. He answered no questions. You glean nothing from that, which was by design. And it also very condescending and insulting to your fan base. That's what that was.
But other than that, what'd you think?
That's exactly what I thought. I mean, it really was condescending to the fan.
What part was the most condescending to you?
The thought partner bit was great. Every answer to a Deshaun question was condescending. You know, I'm not in reflective mode. Well, you are at the bye week. At some point, you need to reflect on what a catastrophe this season is turned into. That is your job as the GM. You know, how you gonna get this thing out of the ditch? Which, by the way, I don't think that's going to happen. He might, and you know what? Hey, he may not even get that opportunity. He might be fired in January. And right now, there's not a lot of evidence to support him staying around beyond January. So, I thought it was an all-time terrible press conference by him. But, again, that's 100% by design.
Okay, what was he supposed to say?
Well, you know what? At some point, someone in the organization needs to man up and just say, look, we all made the Deshaun decision together, and we all suffer the consequences of it together. As with a lot of things in sports, not everything works out. Clearly, this has not worked out the way we anticipated, the way we planned, the way we hoped. And now it's our job to find the correct path forward. At some point, that needs to be said by the organization. They need to acknowledge the unmitigated failure that trade is and how much damage it has done to this franchise. And has destroyed what was supposed to be this window of contention. And now you're taking valuable years off the primes of careers like Denzel Ward and especially Myles Garrett. You know, they're going to have to reevaluate this roster and tear a section of it down because running it back was not the right decision. You know, they all were feeling themselves last off season, and right now, you're getting a look at what happens when you get full of yourself a little bit. And I feel like that's what happened to this organization. They puffed their chests out a little bit after that 11-6 season, and was like, "Yeah, everything's fine. Run it back. We're good to go." And now this has happened, where they're flat on their face in a ditch. The road to nowhere, and now they've got to figure out a path forward.
Nick believes that they're, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, you believe that they're saving that like, hey, we messed up with Deshaun, and now we're getting rid of Deshaun for another day to kind of almost like celebrate and then enthuse the fan base. Do
no,
you buy into that?
I think it is to move on, and I think there is a PR win in moving on from Deshaun that and by owning it, that is not today.
There we go. What do you think about that, Daryl?
I think that that's fair. But I will also say the sooner they do that, the better.
Yeah, they're not doing it before the offseason, though. Agreed?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, they may never do it. But I would agree that they're not going to do that before.
Yeah,
the
I think that they never do it is actually the strongest play here when it comes to most realistic to happen.
Hey, remember they all got Ivy League degrees. They're smarter than all of us.
Well, I mean, you just wait. If they get fired, none of them are going to address it at all in the slightest bit. I mean, that's just going to be it'll just be gone and that'll be it, and we'll never have a moment where they sit up at the podium and kind of take the firing squad and take what comes their way.
Well, the other thing that's really baffling to me is the Paul DePodesta situation.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Nobody knows what he does, and the results are just god-awful as chief strategy officer. I put this out on X the other day because I was curious about what the numbers look like because he's been here since the start of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
They hired him in, I think, January of 2016, right? I gave the grace of the 1-in-31 thing was by design, so not holding that against him. Chopping that off, setting that aside, because they got the results they were looking for, and that was 2 number 1 draft picks overall, right? So post that, 52-55-1, they're still under 500. And then if you want to throw in the 1-in-31, it's 53-86-1. On what planet do you get to keep your job as a chief strategy officer when those are the results you're delivering?
The planet Earth, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm dumbfounded by it. This guy has done nothing to help them sustain any level of winning at all.
But the processes, Daryl, the processes.
Yeah, well, I got to somewhere you can put your processes.
Where would that be, Daryl?
Where the sun doesn't shine. I'm allowed to say that, right?
Where the sun doesn't shine, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to get in trouble for that one.
No, I don't think so. Okay. And you're so close to a little
vacation,
too. I
almost said something else, but that's the cleaned up
What's
version.
That, Daryl?
No.
Stop it.
Daryl, enlightening stuff as always. Enjoy the bye week.
Remember, 52-55-1, and that guy gets to keep his job.
It's probably because of the one. We appreciate you, buddy.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I'm the worst person in the world to ask. I can say that, right?
After he already said it, too, by the way. It's not like there's no take backs here.
Wow.
What if we would have been like, no? What if we just been like, no, Daryl, you can't say that. You're wrong for saying that.
Don't call me dangerous for nothing.
But we didn't dump it.
No, we didn't. We did nothing to help you out, but no, you can't say that.
Bandwagons with Mac next on 92.3 The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.